Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Casa Connection. I am Jeff Warren.
And I'm Tracy Heisler. Good to hear you, all of you guys, this morning.
Yeah, it's great to be in your ears. And thank you so very much for taking the time to tune into this particular Casa Connection episode. We hope that you have been enjoying the content that we've been putting out on our podcast feed as of late, whether we are talking about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, or whether we're talking about mental health that we've touched on as well, Tracy. We've got a lot of good content so far.
We have, and I'll just apologize before we start. I have been sick, and I've been having little coughing bits, so if it kicks up, I'm just sorry in advance. I hope you don't get this.
Yeah.
It's been miserable.
You have been sick now for a little while.
2.5 weeks.
It's oh my gosh.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And this is a residual cough. I don't think I'm infectious anymore, but
right.
I can see why nobody'd want to hang out in a closed room with me.
I'm glad you're not infectious anymore. We're sitting right next to each other here in your office here at the Casa Shaw headquarters. And make sure you're following us on social media, like our Facebook page. Also head on over to our Instagram and Twitter pages as well, at @Casa_Shaw. And CasaShaw.org is where you can find our website.
So, you know, today is a very special day. It is on my calendar, August 16th, and within the next couple of weeks, most kids around the country will be heading back to school.
Yeah.
Summer's winding down. We've been filling school supply wish lists here at CASA for some of our kids. So Jeff and I thought that this might be a really good opportunity to talk about maybe what some of the challenges are for kids in foster care and academics. And how we can better support them and set them up for academic success.
Absolutely. We're going to have podcasts down the road where we're talking about educational advocacy, specifically from a more classroom perspective. But in this particular episode, like Tracy said, just talk about the trepidation that kids are having. Because there's a few times during the year that are really kind of difficult for foster kids. And whether it's Christmas time, you know, the holidays, Thanksgiving, back to school. It is a very difficult time for a lot of foster youth because of the uncertainty that they are facing.
Well, even more fundamentally, the statistics are not in their favor.
Right.
50% of kids in foster care don't graduate from high school, and less than 3% will graduate from college. Now, we can turn those numbers around, but it takes some very specific kinds of things. I remember years ago being horrified seeing those statistics, and how could we as an organization better support the needs of our kids? So we have, here at Casa Shaw, we have partnered with community donors to get school supplies so kids have what they need and they're ready to learn. Several years ago, we started a traveling tutor program where there are CASA volunteers who are background checked, who we know, who are trauma informed, who have been going to the kids' houses and then with the pandemic virtually, providing very specific one-to-one tutoring services, but with a trauma-informed perspective, understanding that when kids get overwhelmed and shut down, they need some time to reboot. You can't keep pushing somebody who can't learn in that moment. And we had an excellent tutor a few years back, and I love what he did. His name is Andrew. Andrew Pankratz, actually, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
So Andrew was the tutor for these two brothers who were like 8 and 9, 9 and 10, who just really struggled to stay on task, specifically in math. It was hard for them. So what Andrew did is he went in and he would do math with them. And when they'd become overwhelmed, he would say, okay, guys, we're going to take a karate break. But what he was actually teaching them was Tai Chi. Teaching them how to breathe, how to slow down their movements, how to become more centered so that they could get back to focusing and pull themselves out of a crisis mode out of their brain into learning mode so that they could reset. The boys thought it was cool because, hey, we're doing karate. But really, it was teaching them mindfulness. And it made a huge difference for them. And
sometimes I think we need that more in our classrooms.
Oh, I agree.
A lot more mindfulness. And not just for kids who are living through the world of foster care, but just in general.
Do you know, there are some schools that instead of doing detention in a traditional sense, They're sending kids to yoga and meditation.
It's fantastic.
Which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
To help them, you know, master control.
Exactly.
Anyway, so those are some of the things that we have been doing, as well as, you know, making sure that IEPs, the individualized education plans, are following kids from placement to placement, that the schools have them. We're also making sure that our advocates are connecting on a regular basis, not only with the teachers, but also with the guidance counselors and the therapists, to making sure that everybody's on the same page. This approach has been really helpful for us. Of the children that we've served with the traveling tutors, I'm going to knock on some wood, all of them have been promoted to the next grade level.
Our traveling tutors program is really incredible. And I would mention to the folks who are listening, if you are from another CASA program, I mean, feel free to get in touch with us, info@casashaw.org, and we can get you information on our traveling tutors program in terms of, you know, how we started it. And Tracy, I know that you're so good about sharing information with
absolutely.
Individuals. I mean, there are other areas of the country, there are other CASA programs, even here in New Jersey, that could do a traveling tutors type of program with doing it the right way, of course.
Yeah. And one of the other things that New Jersey has done, which was a very progressive and super helpful for our kids, with every school change, every placement change, kids lose on average about 6 months of functioning.
Yes.
So New Jersey passed a school stability law back in like 2013, around that time frame.
Okay.
That says that children have to stay in their home school unless there are extenuating circumstances. And that has to be paid for by the school systems and by the division.
Right.
And that has done a huge amount to help stabilize our kids and stop the hemorrhaging where they're always the new kid at another place.
Right.
And having to find their space again.
The educational component of the advocacy that our CASAs do is really quite incredible. And if you would go to our YouTube page, just search CASA Shaw, go to our YouTube channel, I should say, not page, our YouTube channel. And one of our recent videos is dealing with educational advocacy. We did a CASA Cafe recently. We recorded it, uploaded it to our YouTube channel. And Joe, one of our educational advocates as well, just had a phenomenal story about his advocacy for the youth that he has been advocating for so many years. And it goes to show that at the end of the day, education is the silver bullet for kids. In general, it is the silver bullet for getting them and providing them some foundation for their future.
Absolutely.
And I know that may sound obvious to people saying that, yes, education is the way to go. It's not always that easy, especially in the realm of foster care.
And one of the reasons it's not easy is because there are so many different players, each working in their silos, and they're not working
right
in concert. And that's one of the places where Joe has been particularly successful, because he's in communication with all the players and knows what all their plans are. So he's able to facilitate making things work. And I will just say that I was wrong. It wasn't 2013. It was 2010. That educational stability law,
okay,
was passed. But it's been super helpful. So some of the other underlying reasons that kids in care struggle educationally are things like a lack of enrichment opportunities. For any of you with kids in school, they have dance lessons. They
right
have horseback riding lessons. They play football. For kids in care, they often don't have transportation to get to those things. And so they lose out on so many of those enrichment experiences.
Transportation is such a key to kids, their education, and what they are going to do with their time when they are not actually in the classroom. And again, it comes down to transportation. It's a key issue within the world of foster care.
It really is. And another thing is when you have a lack of engaged adults in a kid's life to help them find what it is that they love, to show them all different kinds of things. Like, I have 8 children and my youngest is 15. And that kid cycles through things of interest, like, you know, other people change underwear, right?
Yeah.
So from the guitar to the ukulele to mixed drinks from the 19th century to now singing and voice lessons and things like that. And she has parents who will indulge all of those interests and make sure she can do it. Kids in care don't always have that. Even right. if they have excellent resource parents, they have other kids usually in the home, their own as well as foster kids. And getting that individualized attention and support for the things that you love can be hard.
And I think you're talking about your child there giving those examples. Children have inquisitive minds. They do. And they should be able to explore in so many different ways, whether it's at school, whether it's after school programs or whatever they want to do. And I think it's our jobs. And I think it has been the job of a CASA volunteer to really help guide foster children to what those opportunities are. And I know that's something that we do here at CASA.
Absolutely. And in fact, we are developing a Fostering Futures program, which is a mentoring program to help our older kids be able to find that direction. But, you know, we had put together a list of ways that advocates could help to address some of these education
Let's
challenges.
Get into some of those. Yeah.
So one of them is early intervention for kids who are young, of identifying which kids aren't meeting their milestones and making sure that we're getting referrals in so that they can get those support services up to age 3.
Yep.
Another one, when they hit 3, is finding quality pre-K programs for them to go to so that they have socialization. They have the opportunity to be exposed to a lot of other different ideas
right.
and people. Even just within the home, access to things like books, crayons, paper, toys, pencils, things that promote development.
Things that a lot of others take for granted.
Right. And we know that kids are natural scientists.
Right.
That's how they learn.
Yeah.
Through experimentation. And the more resources that they have, the more likely they are to, you know, do well educationally if they can develop that. Another one is to have kids assessed if there is a need for an individual education plan and to make sure that those are being followed and that we're attending those meetings, keeping in regular contact, as I mentioned, with guidance counselors and with teachers so that we can address school-related issues.
Yep.
You know, if you're a parent, you check the backpack every day for the notes to see what came home or the forms that need to be filled out. Foster children should be having that too.
Somebody Absolutely.
Should be checking those.
Yeah.
Several of our advocates have gotten the credentials to the parent portal so that they can check and make sure that homework is being done, that if there's trips coming up, things are being filled out.
Right.
But just an extra layer. And it's also a talking point when you go on a visit and say, hey, I see that you didn't turn in your math homework on Wednesday. What happened?
Right, exactly. Because something could have happened. It's not necessarily always that the child is lazy or that the youth just simply didn't want to do it. There are extenuating circumstances that are challenges for our foster youth.
Well, I was talking with one of our advocates, Dina, the other day, and she was telling me that, you know, she keeps on top of everything that's happening. And she'd gone to a visit with the 16-year-old that she's advocating for that she's had for 6 years
right.
now. And she said, so I heard that such and such happened. And he goes, oh, you know about that? She's like, of course I know about that. Because she's completely engaged. He was right. a little embarrassed. Another thing is to advocate for school stability if there's placement changes, of making sure that kids have that. Tutors and mentoring, those are huge parts of kids' educational attainment. That's one of the reasons that Joe, who you referenced earlier, has seen such tremendous gains in the child that he's working with, because Joe holds him accountable.
Right.
And comes back and says, hey, dude, what's going on in history?
Right.
Why isn't this done?
Yeah.
And he holds him to a standard that he knows that this kid can meet. And the kid has risen to the challenge.
Yeah.
And he's set to graduate next year, which is exciting.
It's awesome.
Another one is advocating for school enrichment activities, of finding the ways for the kids to participate on the baseball team or on track or chess club or whatever it is that they're interested in.
Right.
Of making sure that they have those opportunities. The other thing that we do here, in addition to providing backpacks and school supplies and enrichment activities, and the tutors, is we also have something called the Connie Fund. It's actually named after a former advocate named Connie Fenner, who passed away. So people donate to the Connie Fund, and it gives us a pool of money where we can spend up to $300 per child over the life of their case for whatever it is that they want that they can't otherwise find. So we've paid for things like football gear for a kid who wanted to play ball. We have paid for trips, for laptops, for anything at all and everything that has come across for kids who want them. Because they should have that opportunity.
They should.
Just like every other child.
Absolutely. If there is a child that just wants a video game console system because that's a way that they are able to relax, if it's a way that they are able to engage with other folks online, then they should have the opportunity to do that.
Agreed. Yeah. And you know, I had somebody question me once about, they thought I was spending too much money on a particular kid who wanted UGG boots or something. You know what? Kids in foster care also deserve to be spoiled.
They deserve nice things too.
If they the kid wants UGG boots, why not get them UGG boots?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And I see the same kinds of thing in school and with opportunities to just follow whatever your passion is. That should be allowed.
I think that's a great way to end this CASA Connection podcast. Follow your passion. It should be allowed, especially for our foster youth out there. Tracy, have anything else before we head out? That was a great ending, by the way. It wasn't planned. It was a great ending. What do you think?
You know, just my last thing is look at the data and how much of an investment it is for all of us to invest in our kids doing well in school.
Absolutely.
They're not throwaway kids, and they're smart and they're resilient and they deserve every opportunity and every good thing. So let's do that.
Absolutely. It's going to do it for us folks here, casashaw.org. That's our website. You can find some great resources on our site. And again, social media, follow us on Twitter at @Casa_Shaw. Same tag over on Instagram as well, at @Casa_Shaw. Like our Facebook page as well. And get in touch with us. If Tracy's talking about anything that you find interesting, you're wanting to get more information, info@casashaw.org. That's the email that you can send anything to Tracy. And she's so good about trying to get back to people.
All of them.
There you go.
That you will not, unless you're good. Even check my spam.
There you go. All right. Sounds good, folks. You all take care. Have a great, great day. Have a great night whenever you're listening to this, and we'll catch you on the next one.
See you later.